And then she is planning on being back in the Philippines May or April or June of this year. So pray God will just open that door and provide the needs as she serves the Lord there in her homeland. You know, over the years, we've had a lot of the folks who attend Marietta Bible College here in our church present their ministries. And one of the things about the Philippines, it's really red hot for the Lord. A lot of people saved, spirit of revival in many of those areas there. And of course, it's been our privilege to support different missionaries there in the Philippines. And just praise the Lord for the desire to go back, especially to the homeland, and minister to their own people. So pray about that. Pray for John Freeman, too, who we met for a while today. And Brother Freeman's doing pretty well. But, you know, he's still fresh from his wife's passing. And a lot of prayer needed for he and for his family and for Lighthouse Baptist Church. That God just give wisdom in the decisions that need to be made there. So keep praying for him as well. I'm going to do something I don't normally do on Wednesday nights. I'm going to start off reading a prayer letter, a missionary letter, and there is a reason for it. I was actually going to speak on what I'm going to speak on this evening on Sunday night, but as you know, the internet was down over a large portion of the state, so whatever we tried to record on Sunday morning did not work. I guess the audio did come through, and that may be posted online on the sermons, but nothing on Sunday was able to go out. So this is important, and I'm going to go ahead and speak on it tonight. And I'm going to begin by reading the newsletter from Dwight Ruth Talbot up in Cranbrook, British Columbia. It says, "Dear praying friends and supporting churches, we want to thank you for praying for us over these last 12 months since the beginning of the COVID crisis, in which the 2-week to flatten the curve have turned into a year of various restrictions upon our lives and churches. We continue to pray for you and ask you to pray for us for wisdom and boldness to follow the Lord in all things. Here in British Columbia, churches were allowed to meet up to 50 people all the way through until the last week of November of 2020, when British Columbia ordered all churches closed for services. And they were supposed to have been closed for 2 weeks, then another 2 weeks, then a month, and then indefinitely with no end date. Please pray for a court case taking place on March 1 through 3, which, of course, would have concluded with today, before the British Columbia Supreme Court, in which several churches have petitioned the court in a suit against the British Columbia health officer to allow churches to reopen and our charter and natural rights of freedom of worship and assembly recognized. The health officer, now listen to this, the health officer petitioned the court after the suit was filed to get permission to have the police arrest leaders and church attendees and even anyone the police or health officials thought might have been planning to attend a service at churches that filed suit. Anyone they thought might be planning on attending, to have them arrested. We praise the Lord that her petition was denied and also rebuked by the court as being retaliatory. No social gatherings are allowed in British Columbia, but most everything else is open besides churches, restaurants, bars, gyms, barbers, hairstylists, schools, martial arts classes, etc. We can have support group meet with up to 50 people, but no religious services. We can have programs for children, so we have a mom and a daughter that come to our house for children's church. There is a pastor in Edmonton, Alberta, that has been jailed in solitary confinement for opening their church and holding services. They offered to let him go if he would quit preaching to his church, but he declined. And so he is still in solitary confinement today and is not allowed any contact with his family. No contact, period. No calls, no visits, nothing. In the midst of all this, the Lord has been blessing our online meetings and our interaction with our church folk. We have seen a man make strides in overcoming addiction, but is having a bit of a setback. A couple working on their marriage relationship. New people have tuned in to our live stream and spiritual growth in our people here. One of the ladies led her first friend to Christ recently. Our family has been doing well and progressing with schoolwork, music lessons, participation in church services. You are making good progress on our 10,000 door hanger campaign. Pray for souls to come to Christ as a result." So I wanted you to hear that. One, we always read newsletters of our missionaries so you know how to effectively pray for them. But when I read that last week, it just really jumped out to me. You know, of course, this is a theme worldwide. The Let's down in Lima, Peru, the Peruvian government has come under a pretty strict lockdown in Peru again. So, you know, think of the virus as you will, yay, nay, conspiracy, whatever. You know, that's not the point. The point is there's a heavy-handedness, especially in the United States and obviously in Canada, against God's people. There is. That's the reality. By the way, that man's name, that pastor's name is James Coates. He pastors Grace Life Church in Spruce Grove, which is on the outskirts of Edmonton, the city of Edmonton, which is a large city there in the Alberta area. So really, he needs prayer. His family needs prayer. And he has taken a stand. And he's not going to cave. And I read today from some of his lawyers trying to get him released before trial, and the government's taking their stand, and I don't think they're going to let him be released. But that is just foolish that he's not even allowed to speak to his family. That's just mind-boggling. So tonight I'm going to preach on politics. I'm going to preach about the Equality Act. And maybe you have been following this, and if not, you need to. I believe Christians need to be informed about current events, especially when those events are going to directly affect me and you. And if this passes, this will affect this church. It will affect every church in the United States, just like in Canada. There's a heavy-handedness. It is not legal for a man like myself in Canada to preach the Word of God in respects to homosexuality. It is illegal. It is illegal. And that's been true for a number of years. It's coming to a church near you. You know, listen, I understand this, and I want to make sure I say this carefully. I understand. I've heard a lot of folks say, "I'm tired of all the negative news. I can't take this anymore. I'm just turning my TV off. I'm turning off talk radio. I'm not looking at my news sources on my iPhone. I'm not going to do this anymore." And I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that. Because there is a constant stream of negative news, and sometimes there is an attitude of fear-mongering. I understand that too. Yet believers should not be ignorant of what's going on. So I'm going to kind of step in the middle here and speak about this tonight. And I would encourage, of course, you know, there's not a ton of people here tonight, other people in other areas right now. But I'd encourage you to encourage others in the church to go back and watch this, listen to this. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul said to the church at Corinth, he says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices." Now, I think I mentioned this Sunday. For some reason, I used this passage, I believe. If not, that's fine. Let me go over it again. The context or the text of that chapter is dealing with unforgiveness. There was someone who grievously sinned against the church, and a bunch of people are offended, and Paul said, the man is willing to get right. The man wants to seek forgiveness. And you may be upset by what he did. It may have stirred bitterness over what he did. But you need to forgive him, because you can look down at this man with a self-righteousness and say, I'll never forgive this great wickedness that he's done. But if you don't forgive, then Satan has actually turned the tables and used that device to cause you to sin because you're not willing to forgive. So that's the context. But you notice the word device is not singular, it's plural. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. So it's not just dealing with the matter of not forgiving someone who has grievously sinned against the church or against an individual believer. That's not the total issue. It's an issue of we cannot afford to be ignorant against whatever device Satan would use to bring about harm to the believer. That's going to hurt the church. And so in that mindset, I'm going to address this tonight because I think it's important. You know, I believe there are a lot of things that can cause fear in the life of the believer. And again, I know what we're addressing tonight can cause people to become fearful. Maybe a good, healthy dose of fear might be what the Lord would want in us. To realize that the United States is not the United States today that the United States was that we grew up with. It has changed, and it is literally changing almost daily now. The decline in the United States over the last 40 years is now in 2021 doing this. And we need to understand that. 2 Timothy 3:1. That in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, people can argue, well, Pastor Vaughn, don't you understand that the term last times actually refers to the entire age of the age of grace, the New Testament church era, from the day that Christ rose from the dead and the church started in Jerusalem until this day. That is the last times. When you look at it biblically, theologically, that's really what the term means. It covers the whole gambit of the 2,000-year period of the church. And I wouldn't argue that. In fact, I understand that, but I also understand this. There's some pretty obvious signs when the last of the last times are getting close. And brother, we landed in the last of the last times a couple years back. And we need to have an understanding and realize what we're up against. Matthew 24:12. You know, we're eventually, as we go through the book of Matthew, we're going to get to this very important chapter, Matthew 24, that speaks about the end. And in Matthew 24, verse 12, it says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, you can look at that verse in several ways. There is obviously an abounding of iniquity in our culture. And unfortunately, and I have no regrets in saying this, and I'm not speaking about this particular local church. I'm talking about Christianity in the United States. Iniquity is abounding even among God's people. And the love of many is waxing cold. We could look at that in many, many ways. But one of the things that is causing the love of many to wax cold is the fact that iniquity in our culture and in our country is abounding, and we're constantly having thrown in our face perversion and iniquity. And you know what's happened to, I'll just say about me. You know what's happened to Pastor Vaughn? I've become somewhat calloused to the iniquity that's abounding in my own country. I'm becoming callous to it. What used to anger me, I've become used to, because now it's the norm. And we don't get upset about things. And we don't want to stir the boat because we've become calloused. We've become hardened to the iniquity that's abounding in our culture. You say, "But Pastor, there's not a whole lot we can do about it." In some ways, that may be true, but in other ways, and that's one reason, I'm kind of doing a reset. How many have heard of the Great Reset? Okay, in a sense, I'm resetting the church. I said before, in a minute, in fact, I'm talking with Brother Freeman today. He said, "I've told the same thing to some of my leaders in the church. It's like we are starting all over again. It's like we're a brand new church plant. We're just starting all over again." So Friday night, I have a small group of men I'm meeting with to try to stir us toward one of the bedrock foundational truths that God wants for His church, and that is going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, and becoming concerned about going out and getting the gospel to people. You know what? This last year, it's been difficult to do that. And I'm going to say this. I don't know how many people from Bridgeport are watching tonight, but it's a little more difficult in Bridgeport than it is to go down to Flemington. And I've done both, and so have you. And so this last year, going out and ministering to people because of the pandemic has been more difficult to accomplish. But you know what? We need to get back to doing what God has put us here to do. We need to. But sometimes getting people stirred toward that, it just seems like there's a lack of desire or interest in those things. Now, that may not be true of you, but it just seems to be true across this entire nation in our Christian circles. There's just not this great burden that maybe we once had, because I think in part iniquity is abounding and it causes the love of many to wax cold. Secondly, there is I like the term Christendom. You hear me use the word Christendom. That's a fancy word saying Christianity as a whole. There is in Christianity a lot of people who are called Christians who are not Christians. Never have been Christians. R.A. Torrey. How many have ever heard of R.A. Torrey? He said he believed that 90% or 80% of the people who responded to invitation calls never really got saved. Never got saved. They had an emotional experience, made a profession, but it wasn't genuine. Now, I hope R.A. Torrey is dead wrong. He's a great man of God. I hope he's dead wrong. I hope that's not true. But nevertheless, why does the love of many wax cold? Because many of those people who claim to be Christians were never Christians in the first place. Never saved. Made an emotional decision, but no genuine repentance, no turning to the Lord. Just had an emotional response. And all that said, when you talk about certain things now, you don't know if people are going to get stirred up to go forward and get anything accomplished or not. And I think on this subject that we're talking about tonight, all of us need to get emotionally involved. And while we are, you know, the term peon, you know, we're just little peons. Well, we may be, you know, we're not sitting in the Senate in Washington. We're not sitting in the Oval Office in the White House. We don't have that kind of power. But this country was built on the backs of its citizens. And the citizens have been able to create change in Washington. And so if there's anything that God can do through us to keep this thing from going forward, then we ought to do everything we can to stop this. We really should. So we need to be informed about this bill. It just passed the House of Representatives back on the 5th or 18th of February. And it is Bill H.R. 5 called the Equality Act. How many have heard of the Equality Act? Okay, most you have. If you haven't, I want you to listen carefully. Again, it's already passed the House. And this bill, if passed as is by the Senate, is going to amend various aspects or provisions that were signed into law decades ago, 1964, under Lyndon Johnson, and most of you know, of the Civil Rights Act. All of a sudden, some of those civil rights that were guaranteed to the American citizens are going to begin to be altered. And even more so, there's another bill that was passed back in 1903 under the Clinton administration called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And that act came about, in fact, what's really strange, you know who one of the sponsors of that bill was? Schumer. He wouldn't sponsor it today, but he did back then. Charles Schumer, of all people. Chuck Schumer. And that act basically said, we are reaffirming the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of religion, freedom of thought and religion, freedom of conscience in religion, so that if somebody walks into my bakery and says, we want you to make a wedding cake for me and my partner, same-sex marriage, the person who owns the bake shop can say, listen, if you, anything you want to buy, you can buy. I'll give you the stuff to decorate it, but I cannot in good conscience before my God endorse a wedding between two people of the same sex. I cannot in good conscience do it. I can't do that before God. And you know that happened several times out in Colorado, Oregon, and other places that this happened. That Freedom of Restoration Act back in 1993 was established to protect people like that. Now, many have fought against that in recent years. And sometimes the court has sided with what was stated in that bill in 1993 and said, you cannot do this to this person because they've stood under their religious convictions. The Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, the Catholic organization that they were going to force to pay for abortions. Now, I'm not a Roman Catholic, but you know what? I'm grateful that the Little Sisters of the Poor won their case, I believe. They won their case before the courts. If the Equal Rights Amendment passes, there'll be no court that will side with you or this church or any religious organization, because all those things are going to be basically wiped out. There's a lady by the name of Winnie Stackelberg. I believe that's the correct pronunciation. She's the executive vice president for external affairs with the Center for American Progress. And anytime you hear the word progress now, it's probably not a good organization. The Center for American Progress. And this is what she said. Quote, the protections provided by the Equality Act are supported by more than 80% of the public. And the bill is supported by more than 100 religious organizations. That sounds good, doesn't it? The Equality Act is supported by 80% of the American public. When I said, how many of you heard of the Equality Act? A number of you never even raised your hand. And here's my point. When somebody says, don't you think everybody should be equal? What would you say to that? Sure. You have rights, or I have rights under the Constitution. You have rights. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter your creed, your religion. You know, listen, everybody should have equal rights, right? I'm in favor of the Equality Act. That's what people are thinking. That's not what the Equality Act is doing. That's not what it says. That's not its goal. 100 religious organizations support this. You know what? You already know this, and I don't have to give you examples. There are tons of religious organizations that reject Jesus Christ, that reject God Almighty. They don't even believe in Him. They mock Him. That should not impress you or me that 80% of the American public supports. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't believe that. And like I said, I think when you just throw the word out, hey, you know, everybody should be equal. Oh, sure, I support that. 100 religious organizations support this. That doesn't impress me either, because I wouldn't give you 10 cents for most religious organizations in the United States. Let's just be blunt. There is an attack on religious freedom in this bill that's now about to go before the Senate. So I called Joe Manchin's office in Washington yesterday and talked to a young man. I said, could I ask when this bill is coming before the Senate? He said, any day now. And so I asked the young man to let Senator Manchin know, do not support this bill. Called Shelley Moore Capito's office, did the same thing. And I'm encouraging you. And I was going to put the numbers up on the screen and all that, but it's so easy to get their numbers. I don't care if you look at a phone book or you look at it, you know, Google it. You can find their numbers anywhere. They got several offices throughout the state. They got their office there in the Capitol. Call, please, the next couple of days, call and ask our senators to go against this bill. Do not support this. One of the men who introduced this bill is Representative David Cicilline. He's a Democrat from Rhode Island. And when you listen to what he said, quote, we cannot allow claims of religious freedom to be used to discriminate against the LGBT individual. And now you begin to see the heart of the Equality Act. They're going to use this against the church as an issue of hate speech. Listen, when people are banting about taking this book and calling it hate material or hate speech. What did they just do to Dr. Seuss books? You know what? I've never been big into Dr. Seuss, but how in the world can you do what they just did? It's the cancel culture. And if we're not careful, they'll come for this book. You say that's you're being extreme. I don't think so. Right now, as it stands, there are 45 Democrats and one Republican who have already said they will support it. Now, this bill actually came up 2 years ago, May 17th, 2019. It came before the Senate. The House passed it. It was brought to the Senate. They tabled it. Why? Because it was controlled by conservative Republicans. If it had gone to the president's desk, he would have vetoed it because it was Donald Trump in office. The Senate is not controlled by the Republicans tonight, and we don't have a Republican in the White House. If the Senate passes this, Joe Biden will put his signature on it, and this will become the law of the land, and we cannot afford for that to happen. So what are the dangers of this bill? I'm going to read a little bit from the review of the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative group, and this is what they said. This is a quote. The proposed Equality Act of 2021, H.R. 5, would make mainstream beliefs about marriage, biological facts about sex differences, and many sincerely held beliefs punishable under the law. The Equality Act makes discrimination the law of the land by forcing Americans to conform to government-mandated beliefs, not biblical-mandated beliefs, government-mandated beliefs under the threat of life-ruining financial and criminal penalties. Did you understand that? Criminal penalties. Presented as a bill with common sense and decent protections against discrimination, H.R. 5 is anything but. The Equality Act politicizes medicine and education and demolishes existing civil rights and constitutional freedoms. So what we have had guaranteed under the Constitution begins to be eroded because they will say this has taken precedent over the First Amendment, if not the Second and Third and Fourth Amendments and every other amendment that's in the Constitution. This will basically make null and void the Religious Freedom Act of 1993 and begins to erode the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It will seek to officially destroy biblical teaching that marriage is to be between a man and a woman. That's one of their goals. Section 2, letter A, part 2 of H.R. 5, quote, refers to the belief that marriage is between a man and a woman as a sex stereotype. Just a stereotype. Religious organizations will be forced to pay for sex change operations. Religious organizations will be forced. So if, let's say we ran a daycare and it was opened up to the public, which, you know, was a good way to minister to people. You know, that's a debate we've had about, not a debate, where we've discussed this building once it's finished. Do we let people from the community come in and use this building? And all of a sudden you open up this can of worms and you open yourself up all kind of lawsuits. In fact, we used to have a organization, I was more than happy, Lifeline. You remember Lifeline out of Cleveland, Ohio? They do all the, you know, the blood, all the testing stuff. And every other year I let them come in here and use our building to run those medical tests. The last time they called, I said, you are welcome to come. But I said, if you do, because of the legal climate, I said, I'm going to have to ask you to sign papers that will guarantee you will not come back against us if you have someone working for you or some patient comes in who has some opposing view to our religious standards and would cause trouble for this church. And they decided to go elsewhere, which is fine with me. You know, that's fine. But what I'm saying to you is That's the kind of climate we're living in. Do we let somebody come in here and use this for a birthday party who's not a member? Do we open ourselves up to hosting a wedding for somebody who's not a member? If you understood, and you probably do, all the legal ramifications, a church just trying to do a good thing now can be literally destroyed in this country. It's crazy, just absolutely crazy. And this bill will justify those kind of things. Concerning abortion, the Equality Act opens the way for taxpayer-funded funding of elective abortions. This bill does not give any protections to people with conscious objections, morally or religiously, to paying for abortions. So there goes the Little Sisters of the Poor. Now you will pay for abortions. You know, any religious organization, be it a church, be it a Christian university, Christian school, you name it, all the different religious organizations that, you know, have ministered and served this country, all of a sudden are forced to do something that is an abomination in God's eyes. The Equality Act changes, and since I know a lot of us are into sports, and you know, you've all heard of Title IX, right? You know, giving women basically equal access, you know, in sports. The Equality Act changes to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act do not uphold Title IX of 1972 Education Amendments Act. So, you know, you heard recently about an MMA fighter in the women's division. And it's a man who transgendered to a woman. And he goes into the ring with this female and just about takes her life. He is so overwhelmingly strong, he breaks her skull and did severe other damage. And then they call this man, this person, the bravest person that has ever been in the history of sports. That's what they said. He's the bravest, he or she, whatever, is the bravest person that's ever, you know, graced an athletic event in the United States. So gender identity policies will require biological males to be permitted to participate in female-only activities, and that'll come to your schools. You say, well, not in West Virginia, not in sleepy little West Virginia, this conservative state. It won't matter how conservative West Virginia is. This will be federal. This will come to every school, and we're not going to keep it out. All single-sex spaces, bathrooms, locker rooms, dormitories, will be open to both sexes under the Equality Act. It'll happen to the schools. And if you're on a Christian camp and somebody comes in and the camper says, I identify as a girl today, you will not, under the law, be able to stop them from going into the women's shower or sleeping in the girl's cabin. It will be illegal. It will be illegal. In the education field, by adding sexual orientation and gender identity rules to the Civil Rights Act, Title IV, on the desegregation of public education, the Equality Act could pave the way for kindergarten through 12th grade federal courts to require sexual orientation and gender identity curricula the same way they require Black history curricula. You say that only happens in places like California and New York and Atlanta, which it did. It only happens in the big major cities in those Democratic-leaning states. Not with the Equality Act. It will affect Bridgeport High School and Johnson Middle School or Johnson Grade School. And it'll affect everything. You say, we just can't imagine it could ever happen here. Folks, if this passes, if it doesn't happen immediately, it will in the course of time happen, and there will be nothing that can be done to stop it. Parental rights regarding sexual identity. If you try to get your child therapy, you know, for what has been historically termed gender dysphoria, you won't be able to stop it. So if you have a child in school and some left-leaning teacher bends their ear or this is forced to be taught and this 7-year-old or 6-year-old or 5-year-old child who doesn't know much of anything yet decides maybe I am a girl, even though I look like a boy. And somebody bends their ear to go have a sex change, you know what? You, as a parent, will not be able to stop them. You say, that'll never happen. A judge in Ohio terminated the rights of parents who opposed administering testosterone to their underage daughter and wanted her to go for counseling for gender dysphoria. That happened in the neighboring state of Ohio. Don't think it can't happen here, because it certainly can. So you know what? We can go on and on. And you could say, you know what, that's depressing. And it is. That is depressing. That is terrible. And I didn't come here to depress you. But I think we do wrong if we bury our heads and say, I just don't want to hear this stuff. I just want to go home, gather my family, and have a nice snack after the evening service, and go to bed and wake up tomorrow and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and nothing's ever going to be hunky-dory again, folks. And it's time that we do whatever we can do to stand. So I am begging whoever's watching the live stream tonight, I'm begging you in the auditorium to do whatever you can. Other lovely can't do this because she's a Filipino. She's not a citizen of this country. But you folks are, and we're citizens of this state, and we ought to get hold of Manchin and Morcapito and say, please don't support this bill. And whether it's through the different organizations like Matt Staver's Liberty Council or Jay Sekulow, I can't remember the designation on his law group, you see anything, hear anything, and you can do something to fight against this, I encourage you to do it. Take a stand. Stand for what is right, even if it costs us a price. I'm going to tell you something that's going to cost us something to stand for Jesus Christ in this country. Our day is coming. It's been in her part of the world for generations. China, Myanmar is getting obliterated right now. Nepal, India, go down into the African continent, throughout the Middle East, and Christians are suffering horrendously right now. We say that's terrible, and it is. Don't think it can't happen here. Don't think that we can just, you know, continue on in our Christian bubble and never be affected, because that bubble is starting to crack. And we've seen it the last year. You know, the virus is real. We've seen people we love die from it. We've seen it affect our own church. It's a real thing. It's a deadly disease. But it's also been manipulated and used by our government and by governments in the world to bring about what they are seeking. And one of those things, listen to me, one of the things they're seeking to do is to destroy Christianity. And that's the truth. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now I believe he's speaking there mainly about the minds and the spirit, and the attacks that Satan's constantly throwing out at us, but I think even in this realm where it's more than just a thought that pierces our mind or a temperament that befalls us, I think it goes beyond that to where, in fact, in that chapter he deals with principalities and powers in high places. And there are demonic influences that are bombarding this nation. So I think the first line of defense is a commitment from every one of you to pray against what's happening in our nation. To go to God and pray and beg him to begin to turn things around. My personal prayer is this: God, you have to judge us. You have to judge us. You told Manasseh that you would forgive him, but you would never forgive the blood that was shed. How many 72, 73, 74 million innocent people we have murdered, more than the Nazis, more than the communists. We have murdered innocent people. And God does have to bring our nation into judgment. He does. But here's what I'm asking. I'm asking God, when you judge us, turn the curse into a blessing. Use it to bring revival to your church, and use it to bring if not millions of people to Christ. That's what I'm asking God to do. I'm not asking to withhold judgment because of our wickedness. But at the same time, I don't want to have to suffer if I don't have to. And if God would hold the hand back of great persecution, then certainly we ought to do everything we can to fight against that. And bottom line, we need to stand. Just stand. Stand against the evil day. Because the evil day is here. Been here for a long time. Take this for what you want. If you don't like what I've said tonight, you're probably going to hear a lot more in the coming months. If the Lord tarries, as long as I'm allowed to stand in this pulpit and preach, I'm going to make you aware of things. But at least right now, we can do is pray, and you can call your senators and ask them to vote against this bill. And maybe by God's mercy, He'll allow it to be defeated. And pray that it will. Pray that it will. These are very, very serious things. All right, this is what we're going to do tonight. And I don't expect you to, spend all your time praying about this particular issue. There's plenty of other people that need to be prayed for, but I just thought it'd be nice tonight. It's only about 7 till 8, so we still got a little bit of time. If you would like, and if you don't want to, that's fine, but if the ladies would like to come up here, you can socially distance if you want to, but just pray for a few minutes, and then if you want to pray together in toward the back of the auditorium, that's what I would like to do tonight. You notice I've been doing different things on Wednesday nights, been mixing things up on Wednesday nights, and just this is something we're not going to do all the time, but I would like to do that tonight. Now, if you'd rather pray as a couple or pray individually, that's fine, but if you would like to do that, then the ladies will be up here and the men will be back there. All right, let's go ahead and pray.